Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinburne. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
I know, all fancy today.
Jeez, have you gurgled or spoke?
Very fancy.
Both. You're hired.
Do you speak French?
Oui. Oui, oui. Is that your dog?
Oh, your accents are pretty good.
What was it?
I'm terrible at accents.
Not good at accents?
No. Are you?
I thought you said you have a go-to. I do accents
that come and they go, right?
Like, what's your go-to? Like, if you had to, like,
I'll do like a British accent, right?
Oh, this is really good. I know you have one.
I got nothing.
Yes, you do. You have your British.
Nope.
I always do my Italiano. Hey, what happened?
That's really racist.
I embarrass my wife at restaurants.
What do you mean when you always do?
I always do in like, Italian restaurants.
Every once a day, you just
when we ever go to Italian, I always.
So
have
you're
to
like going to like you walk into the restaurant and just immediately like, hello, I'm here.
He walks into Pizza Hut. Yeah.
Hey, can I get the pepperoni?
Gosh. I can't imagine why your wife would be embarrassed by that.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we got another early morning podcast. We got croissants and raisin rolls this time.
Yes. We were going a little healthy with the raisins for some reason.
But yeah, the raisins.
Yeah, this is really healthy.
Yeah. And then delicious coffee from Kitchen Town, sponsored by Kitchen Town.
This podcast brought to you. And we had Julio went to get the coffee and sent a very important text. Did you want goat milk or oat milk?
I was like, artisanal.
Luckily, we got oat milk. When Jim first told me about oat milk, I made fun of it. I'm like, who the fuck is going to drink oat milk?
Yeah, right.
And then I tried it, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's pretty good.
What's the difference with it? Is it not as creamy, or?
Well, it's just not. It's the difference between oat milk and what? Almond milk? Is that almond milk's almonds? Oat milk's oat?
So they taste.
That's why I didn't think it was a complete, like, joke where you guys were trying to make me ask something that wasn't there.
It's pretty good.
I can see it's kind of like when you guys wanted me to book a trip to Puerto Vallarta.
quickly.
And when you guys were going to fucking Vegas. Yeah. That would have been great. I would have been like, what do I do now?
Speaking of which, what day is it?
Today is Thursday.
Oh. Who said Friday?
I said Thursday.
Say Friday?
I said Friday.
It's Thursday.
Thursday, sorry.
We got 3 days.
3 days.
Depending if you count today.
Yes, till the big Vegas trip.
Well, that's right. We're going to Vegas.
Till the Wind Club whales hit.
Just walk out Vegas. Of bags of cash.
We can be the Cosmo cows.
Yeah, Cosmo cows. Yeah, we're excited, I guess. Everybody's going.
Cosmo cows not as cool as Wind Club whales. I take that one back.
I think Julio's going to sit this one out. He spent so much time in Vegas in the last couple of months. Just he needs a break.
You're not going?
Mm-mm.
He's got a baby on the way, so he's negotiating.
Oh,
that's very true.
He's picking and choosing his spots. Apparently, he can go to concerts every night of the week. He was out last night, but he just, but he can't go to Vegas.
I asked if she was mad, and she told me that I have to get out of my system before the baby arrived. So.
Oh, that's true.
It's asked like if you were mad that you went out last night?
Yeah, because I asked her to go with me. She's like, well, if it's standing the entire time, I'm going to get really tired, so I don't think I should go. And then I was like, well, I'm going to go. And then
you just went and sat down the whole time as a protest?
Negative. And then I was texting her at the show, and I asked if she was mad about me going as opposed to, not going. And then I didn't get a reply for like a half hour, so I was sure I was in the doghouse. But apparently, no. I was fine.
It's good to use your time at the show.
Yeah.
Should I be here?
What was it?
I think it
was during the opening act. The real bad hadn't gone.
It's one of those questions you're asking because, because you're a glutton for punishment. Like, whenever I ask those questions, what am I hoping to happen here? Hoping for her to be like, yes, I think it's fucking awesome that you're out. Please do this all the time. And then I'll be like, oh, sweet. Or if she says, I don't know, it's your choice, up to you. Then you're like,
then you're really
fucked, just cranky.
Yeah, you're like, oh, man, whoops.
So wait, you're not going?
No. No, I got
wait.
Dennis, you got the Dennis disapproving look on his face too, like
did you get your outfit?
Not yet. I'm waiting for a couple things
Monday?
To come through.
Yeah. You order something?
No.
What do you mean a couple things to come through then?
I was thinking about making it.
It's Thursday.
You got to make your Jagwagon.
I got nimble thumbs.
You got to make your Jagwagon shirt.
Sewing machine.
The transfers are here.
Oh. No, we're gonna wait for hoodies.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case,
because we need the sleeve patches. Wait for the sleeve patches.
Oh, that would be a pretty cool looking thing.
Well, that was. I mean, hold on. Let's just rewind for a second.
I thought you were going for just for the shirt, the Jagwagon shirt. That's what I thought. And then I was like, okay, patch would be part of something else. But that is pretty cool.
Now we're going to Jagwagon on the front, Fournette on the sleeve. Maybe we should just order some real Jaguars patches, make it official.
What happens if they trade away the Fournette guy? Does that happen in the NFL?
That'd be like
a Khalil Mack status. You got to burn the patch off, right?
Collector's item.
Cut it out.
Khalil Mack status trade.
Khalil Mack. Yeah,
we had alluded to that in the previous episode, by the way. So in the TFO episode, I made a joke about Khalil Mack, and then a couple days later, he got traded to the Bears. So Raider fans can blame me on that one, but yeah, I saw it coming.
One of Luke's friends' parents came over, and they're big Raider fans. And the mom was like, "What do you think's going on?" I'm like, "I think they just give a shit about the next couple years in Oakland. They're just trying to get ready for Vegas.
Yeah,
it's the reality of being a fan. It's a weird thing. It's like gambling. Being a fan,
yeah,
you have this like weird loyalty. You feel guilty if you change allegiance. Same as gambling. It's like, oh, these are chips. These isn't money.
Yeah,
I'll just keep fucking throwing these around.
Like no big deal.
But I wouldn't put money down. But I'll put these chips down.
Yeah.
What a weird. It's like we get older and we realize we've just been fucked our whole life.
Do you think I'll go the golden night?
That was dark.
Do you think they'll go the golden night route and just be the Vegas Raiders or Las Vegas Raiders?
Not sure. Are they just the Vegas Golden Knights?
Yeah. Hmm. That sounds better. What is Vegas Lights? Are they Las Vegas Lights or the Vegas Lights?
No, I think that's a good question.
Las Vegas Lights, I think.
Las Vegas Lights?
I'm assuming we're talking about teams.
We are.
Yeah.
What about the Nevada Raiders? Then they can bring that whole state in.
Yeah. It's true.
Like the Arizona Cardinals.
That's true. We could.
Yeah.
Nevada Raiders.
Yeah. Nevada Raiders.
The Nevada Raiders.
Speaking of Raiders.
Yes.
Last night was the first episode. Or not last night. This week was the season
premiere.
Series premiere of Mayans.
Yes.
We thought all our motorcycle club entertainment was over.
Yes.
With Sons of Anarchy, but it's back.
What'd you guys think?
What'd you think?
It was awesome. I'm assuming I forgot to watch it.
That was so believable. I was like, wow.
That was awesome.
Right, Dennis,
that's why I should have just pretended.
Wait, did you watch it?
Yeah, that's why you looked all like, it's like when you're in class and you didn't do the reading or something like that. And so you're the first one to ask a question to get like the conversation started.
All right. We'll pretend I watched it. I bet you I can guess some parts that happened.
Go.
We'll keep talking. I can figure it out.
You'll be like, ah, man, I love that part. We'll be like that.
Easy, Angel. Galindo.
It took me a while to get all their names.
I'm still trying to like wrap my head around faces and characters.
You know how it started though. This is my film.
Let me guess. Riding motorcycles on a road. No,
there's a dead crow on the road.
Being eaten by
a coyote, and then Easy rides his motorcycle over the crow. Symbolic.
Wow.
Sam Crow. Jax. It's fucking done.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's
a good one.
It was symbolic.
That's a pretty good one.
I was like, please tell me that's a crow. Please tell me that's a fucking crow. I don't even know what a crow looks like, but I wrote down, that was a fucking crow.
Did they make any references to...
Yeah.
They appeared.
They appeared.
The Suns came and saved the day at one point.
Oh, wow.
Well, the one guy was... Yeah, but it wasn't...
Should we say there's spoilers if you haven't watched plenty. It? Yeah, like spoilers, everybody. Like if you're...
Plenty of spoilers.
If you haven't watched, you should probably just skip past this part.
Yeah.
And shut up with the Samoans.
You want to wait till you're done eating?
Sorry.
You can keep that mic cover. Go ahead. That's yours now.
I don't want that back.
As if I could raise it on it.
Nick, what did you think? What was your overall thought?
I thought it was good. I have such high expectations that it's hard because then you're comparing like I was trying to figure out like who's who, right? Like, oh, this guy is the equivalent of this guy. Or will I really give a shit about Easy? Like Jax was like believable. I don't know if it was believable, but somehow like he was the main character.
Right.
But I think kind of by the end I thought, I'd get into this.
Yeah, like a pretty good cast. All those guys, you've seen them in a whole bunch of different shows, and so like good actors. I thought they all did a good job, and Yeah, you wonder like who in this cast do you will you relate with? The other that was one thing about that other cast is that there were so many of them were relatable characters that you were just like, wow, right? Yeah. I was trying to remember back to like to the first episode of Sons and like if I was drawn in quickly or if like because someone had told me like Jim, you need to watch this, it's really good, you really enjoy it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I ended up really enjoying it. And, yeah. But there were a couple like I liked the episode last night, but I thought there were a couple of times where I was just like, ah, you know, they're a little fan service, right? Where they're showing different people or things are happening. You're like, okay.
Yeah, it was confusing. Well, there's a lot to fucking figure out too. Like I don't remember when on Sons of Anarchy if it took a while to get into it, but this one at first it was good, but it was a lot of like unknowns, right? At first you couldn't figure out the one guy's his brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you couldn't figure out, and you figured that out, right? Because he talks to his dad,
mm-hmm.
and then then the other guy's talking about that, and then yeah. you couldn't figure out, obviously, who was the, what do they call whoever you know tipped off the other guys.
Yep.
And then even from watching it, I still because it was so early in the show before you figured out who was who.
Yeah.
I still didn't realize it was him.
I haven't seen one episode of Sons.
No.
What?
No.
Wow. I've never watched it.
See, I think that like I think Sons helps you watch this show because yeah. it gives you that whole like you've got this whole. Knowledge base to go in. That's why they didn't explain a lot of things, right? There's no reason to explain anything, right? Like if you've already watched Sons of Anarchy, then you know what a biker gang is like, and you know that it's going to work like this.
But what about a new audience like myself who's never watched Sons?
I think sort of what Nick was saying. Like there's a little bit of confusion, maybe, and like, wait, what? Why can't they be in the room? What is?
I can't believe you never watched Sons of Anarchy.
Never.
It's on Netflix, I think.
God, I might just
binge it.
Half this room is fucking completely.
That's
useless.
The problem with like. No, because if all the it's I can't do binging, it'll I got work to do. That would just be bad.
You can't work and binge.
Example: last over the weekend, Ozark came out with a new season,
yeah.
10 episodes.
Oh, yeah. My God, I forgot about it. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
I stayed up to like 3 a.m. watching, and I was like, I should probably quit. And then I was like, well, I got to watch the rest of it now. So
it was funny. I'll
be more useless than what I am now.
I actually binge watch, and then we don't watch the last episode because we don't want it to end. So Stranger Things. I haven't seen the last episode of Stranger Things.
You're probably
not alone. Game of Thrones.
There's probably a ton of people who are like that.
Yeah. I'm just like, I can't finish it. I don't want it to end. So
actually, you can watch Game of Thrones. Yeah, that happens like in 2019, and then get yourself ready for the final season.
When you told me about Ozark, I was like, oh, sweet, there's a new episode. And then when you remind me there's a whole new season all at once, I was like, oh, fuck.
That's like 10 hours.
Like one episode a week's good. Although last night, we got into bed ready to fucking watch Jersey Shore, and it was the wrong day.
That's about right.
Crushed.
Crushed.
My Jersey Shore dreams crushed.
I didn't realize you were a big fan. Interesting.
You gotta, all right, you gotta keep up on the drama.
Yeah. So maybe next week you guys could watch Mayans.
Yeah,
or
for
watch,
sure.
Or you could watch Mayans. And
you got two episodes to watch.
Yeah, two episodes. What did you think, Julio? As someone who's never watched Sons of Anarchy.
I tried not to be too... I had to go back and read synopsises afterwards.
What?
Just so I can actually... Well, that's how I do... Like, so I won't be totally lost. And then I was like, well...
Do you read the synopsis from?
On the internet.
No, but like, who writes it? Is it like IMDb or something?
No. It's like Entertainment Weekly or like... Oh, I forgot who it was. They write this whole like... And I was like, so...
What happened in the episode?
Yeah. Wow. So I got to follow along. So that's how I memorize character names and that's how I make sure that my fucking... That's how I know that there was...
Wait, you read it before or after?
After. Mm. So I know that there was appearances by... I guess I had to go back and watch the entire series of Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, right.
So you don't know who Alvarez is?
No.
But Alvarez was like the guy from the Mayans that would always like... At times of battle, but mostly help out the...
See, I would have to go... I guess I could go back and do like pack research.
And you were like... He's got like a notebook out. He's like writing notes. He's like, huh, interesting.
You wrote notes?
So yeah, so then... So you wouldn't even... Like, so when he was in jail, right? When they were flashing back to him with his girlfriend?
Well, then I read that there was the character that they...
Gemma, who was like the mom of Sons of Anarchy.
And is also...
I was like, oh, okay. So she's probably going to play... I was like, well, maybe she plays some bigger role in like his deal with the FBI.
No, I think that was just like a...
Or just like a tease for
I think
like
that's a
everyone.
Tease. Plus, she's married to the show creator.
Yeah. Hey, honey, I got a job for you.
Yeah.
So this will pay for the kids in school for the next couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, because then it ended with the girl he almost had a kid with, has a kid now with the cartel boss.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rabbits...
Spoilers.
Right.
To chase him.
Yeah. I thought that was a good... I was thinking, how is this going to get a little deeper and... like the whole Mexican independence people. I thought that was a good, it's a good plot storyline. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah, who remembers the name of that group?
I have no idea.
Something the, Diablos.
Something.
Los Olvidados.
The Forgotten.
The Forgotten.
All right.
Well, then what's the Diablos part?
Diablos.
Devils of the something, right?
Los Olvidados, they...
I have to go back and look at my notes. Hold on.
Synopsis time.
Synopsis time. What else is I going to just say that I don't remember? I don't know. It's unclear whether she takes care of the kid either, by the way. Like, is his kid still out there somewhere? I mean, like, that seemed like a whole...
They showed, like a little girl across the street, right?
Right. But that was the people who were watching her.
Yeah, and at first I thought that was his kid, but then that, he'd been in jail for 6 years, so that kid was too young.
Yeah.
And then I kept thinking that the coyote was Jax.
I was thinking that too. I was thinking, is the dog or the coyote, right? Is that representing, you know, someone who's going to, like, is he gonna have like a little spiritual,
especially in the beginning, right? Because you got like this blonde coyote watching this easy ride his motorcycle down the street, and like, and this blonde coyote like looking at this dead crow,
right?
And Jack's
right.
Kind of, you know, killed himself, so it was like, what the hell? And then I looked at what a coyote was. So a coyote is supposed to represent the balance. So if you see a coyote,
I usually run.
You're supposed to turn around or run, because it means you're becoming unbalanced. Like you're going too. It like a coyote is a symbol of like unbalance between like, I don't know what, I guess good and bad or whatever. And then it's also supposed to be like symbolic of one story ending and another beginning. So I was like, oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they also keep on that symbolism, man.
Yeah.
Look something up. Task here. Also, I was looking at it from a business perspective of like, you know, they're all fucked up because they're basically a business, right? Because Alvarez made a deal with the old cartel boss.
Right.
They had like honor between them, and then now the cartel boss's son disregards all tradition and honor and agreements. But then the gang is still stuck because they're kind of like, their leader is still stuck in the past, and their competitor or ally is abandoning the past. So now they're from within having to fucking have a revolt to embrace.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like the future. How many corporations probably have that exact same problem, or businesses have that exact same problem, where there's a way of doing it that's just dragging the whole business down into the into the dumps, right? And there's always going to be new people or younger people who believe that like you got to change.
Alvarez is fucking Blockbuster, and the young guys are fucking Netflix.
One of the unicorns.
Yeah. All right. Well, next we're gonna update Mayans Weekly.
Yes.
And next time Dennis is gonna watch it.
I will. I'll be caught.
Now he's got a binge. He's just waiting until he had two episodes to watch.
I just hate it when
he doesn't want to watch one.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So the other thing we're gonna talk about was money.
Yeah. Cha-ching. Yes.
Which, you know, I guess is applicable, because that's why the Mayans were doing everything.
So exactly.
Fucking money. They didn't like the cartel guys.
Right.
They just wanted the cash.
They needed the money.
Yeah. Do you think they do it for fun or for just for the money?
Both.
Both? You think there's a thrill in it?
Well, hell yeah.
There's different ways to make money.
Yeah.
I think the upside, the fun times of being in a motorcycle gang would probably be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I just don't think I could handle the downside of being in a motorcycle.
I couldn't handle lack of sleep.
Chopping hands off
and riding a motorcycle.
How about the dead part?
Yeah, you couldn't handle the chopping dead. Hands
the
off.
Dead part.
Chopping hands would be really
It depends
fun.
On whose hands.
Being tortured.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
Yeah, it was really brutal.
Yeah.
So what do you think about money?
What do you think about money? Have you thought about this topic?
I did. I actually did think about this topic.
Yeah? What do you think?
Hit us with it.
What's the first thing you think about when someone says money?
Money.
Other than a six pack of Bud Light.
And a t-shirt made of it. I mean, I don't know. I think as I got older, the value of money kind of lost its interest as I got older, because I feel like since I'm getting older, I think there's more things more important for it than actual money. So it's actually funny. I actually learned this when I was camping. It was actually a very surreal experience.
This last camping trip.
Last camping trip.
From the camping
Are you a new
trip.
Man? We haven't.
Yeah, I've been working on it. So we went camping, and it was kind of crazy because there was no cell reception, so there's no technology at all, which is, you know,
that's weird,
super weird.
No internet,
nothing. And then we just were camping, and there was a bunch of families all over. All we focused on was making food, sitting by the fire, you know, having a couple of drinks and just telling stories.
Did you know a bunch of people?
Yeah, there were like three other families that we went with, and it was kind of crazy because you look at it and then it was like a huge campsite, and there was like all these little almost like tribes, and all the kids were running between all these quote-unquote tribes of people, and we were all like watching the kids, like all the parents kind of looked out for each other's kids that were running around having fun, and everybody socialized, everybody was super friendly, and it was really fun. For like 3 days we just did that. I mean, granted, we went, you know, rafting a little bit, paddle boarding, and almost ran into a bear.
But yeah, what's the bear story?
So it was like 4 a.m, you know, it was a little cold, and the worst part about camping is getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and luckily we weren't too far. And so it was a little bit later, it was like 6 a.m. So I get out of the tent, you know, I was kind of disorientated, and then started walking toward the bathroom, and looking around, I see people in a farther camp looking up and looking in one direction out of their tents. And then I start walking there, and they're kind of looking in my direction because that's kind of where the bathroom was. But mm-hmm. I just kept going. Yes, like they probably see something, or maybe there's a bear over there or something. And then I walk up to the bathroom, and I see some guy standing there, some older guy. And he goes, "You see the bear?" I go, "What bear?" And I look over, and the bear is like 20 feet away from me, like walking it. Probably, they say about 600-pound bear was just walking away because somebody left their garbage out, and then the bear is just, you know, if you leave your garbage, everything has to be cleaned up and put in a bear box. So it was kind of scary because I don't know why this
kinda
guy.
What
you? Yeah, I don't know why this guy was chasing this guy with a camera because he wanted to get a picture of him. But I'm like, oh, geez. You know, and I just ran into the bathroom because it was like, I mean, these things are crazy. You know, the top of the food chain.
Where were you? Like weren't you right by the lake?
Yeah, we were pretty close to the lake.
You sent a picture where you could see the water.
Yeah, we were about a 10-minute walk down from the lake. Mm. So, but it was interesting. But anyway, back to the point about money. It's just, I don't know, just made it seem that was more important, and all the technology and all this stuff wasn't as important as just, you know, making connections with people. And I mean, if you have food and shelter, I think that's all that's really important.
And your life flashed before your eyes when you saw the bear. You realized
money. Yeah, and I was like, oh my God. Nothing. Yeah, money is nothing.
Where's my shelter?
Yeah. Like, Christina, there's a bear.
So then you sat there watching all these kids run around.
Yeah.
You've decided money's not important. Are we going family mode now?
Hopefully one day, maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I'm a slow mover. I looked at Julio when I said that. I'm a slow mover.
It is time.
But I mean, for the most part, yeah. I mean, it's. I'm just trying to travel more. I think that's more important. If I have enough money to travel and just get the basics taken care of, I'm a pretty happy guy. You know, I'm not too. I used to do it when I was younger, but at this point, I'm tired of chasing. So
what does that mean this weekend? Like, are we not gambling?
No, we are gambling. We are. I'm just not going to go crazy.
Wait, this is just for podcast. Actually,
he's not going to go crazy.
This is just for podcast purposes.
It doesn't even matter, right? You're going to go huge because who cares if you lose
still play. I love gambling. So.
Unbelievable.
So what about you? Your view of money. Do you think it's evil?
No. I don't know. I think it's a weird one because you teeter back and forth between thinking like it's irrelevant. I'm pretty sure we're going to all find out in the end that it's not that important, right? It's like the last thing we're thinking about. But then you still find yourself at times like wanting more or like thinking of these like things you want and you need money for them or whatever. Usually seems to correlate with when you're bored or you don't have like, you know, not focused on something else. You just start thinking like, what else could I buy? I think business-wise, it's good and bad. A lot of the mistakes I've made have been from money being too readily accessible. And then sometimes it confuses me. Like when we had Maurice on and he was talking about, he referenced like two or three times, like, I mean, obviously you guys have more money. Obviously you guys are money. And it was like kind of like a weird, like I thought like I would never think like that, right? And I don't see it as like, oh, we have extra money, so this extra advantage, or like, oh, like anything really money related, right?
Yeah.
Like I enjoy the comforts of it. I'm lucky enough to, you know, a lot of things I don't have to maybe worry about or think about that from having it. But I didn't think of it as like, I thought it was an odd an odd thing. I just remember that stuck out to me. The thing of like this is weird.
That sticks out to me too. And I think we hear it a lot. Like people like, oh, you know, you guys have money or whatever. And I remind people all the time, it doesn't matter how much money we have. The business has to be successful. It has to.
Yeah. It's not a charity.
Yeah. It still has to work, right? We still have to have. There's still the same things. We still have the same challenges everyone else has in terms of trying to get a business to work from the bottom to the top. So I always, you know, try to tell people, like, you need to forget all of that, right? Like, it doesn't matter. There's the phone call.
Wouldn't be a podcast episode.
Yeah, if you think about the challenge with not, you have to think about it in business, right? Because if you don't think about it, then, like, I've done that, not thought about it, and then focus, you know, you say, oh, it's all the other things that are interesting, but they have to be for a business, it has to be balanced with money. Otherwise, it's not going to be sustainable. So you get everyone in the world excited about something, but ultimately one day you're going to be like, guys, we're not doing this anymore because it's turned into an expensive hobby instead of a actual business. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's always, it's just like this evolving perspective of like, you know, depending on your own circumstance, your own situation, random things that come up, it takes on varying degrees of like, it's super important, it's not important at all, it's kind of important, it's necessary, and then what does necessary mean? And then like, what do you really need? And then you see something from some place where there's so much like, what we would consider it's like so much like poverty or lack of something, but then everyone seems so happy or this minimalist way of doing things. It's just like, it's just a weird thing. I mean, I guess if ultimately the goal is just to be happy, then money would just be an accessory to being happy, right?
It definitely opens opportunities to do stuff.
To some, but it just can't, it could also like you watch these fucking, like I think about Luke a lot of like, oh man, he's going to grow up. There's a lot of entitled, like a little entitled kids around here, and they don't have the proper perspective, and they think things are easy, and they just get whatever they want. And then when you have the ability to just be like, fine, just, I don't want to deal with this here, or have this. It's like, is that better for him in the long run than if you, there was no option to have it? You wouldn't even have to have this conversation because he would know, like, it was not even an option. Just fuck, you know, if you want it, go find a way to get it or make your own equivalent. Like when we were kids, right? It was like, oh, I can't have that. Well, I'll come up with the equivalent, right?
Yeah.
I still remember when I was a kid, I don't know why I remember this right now, but my parents went to Taiwan or Hong Kong or something, and they came back with this little mini cassette player, right? I was like, oh shit, this thing's awesome. And there was this kid down the street, and he was the same age as me, so I was probably in second grade, third grade. And he is like, lived in this, in this room, and he had like, he had a big room, like, you know, it was almost like a suite in a hotel where he had like a separate layer for his bed, and he has a couch area and TV and all the shit that was like, wow, this is crazy. And he would order himself fucking pizza delivered all the time. Because he went to the doctor because he was like,
wherever you are,
not,
Tim,
whatever he's eating is not, it's like, he's, it's not healthy, because he's basically ordering, the place was called Cicero's Pizza or something in Cupertino, but he kept ordering it. And I was like, well, how weird, right? You got this fucking third grader that's allowed to order himself pizza. And like, so I went over there with my little cassette tape where, you know, usually you just went outside all day, right? Played in the cul-de-sac, whatever. And he was like, oh, let me see that. That's a piece of shit. That's a cheap fucking imitation of a, you know, whatever, what a Sony ass, or this, that, and the other. And I was like, oh, what? Like, you know, I was all bummed out, right? Yeah. And then it's like, at the same time, you're like, you realize that, like, A, it doesn't really matter.
Two calls.
A, it doesn't matter. And then B, you just don't want to have that kid. You know, you don't want to be the kid that's like,
that orders pizza and the wrong things, talk shit about my toys.
Yeah. Like there's no third grader that should be like, oh, that's like a cheaper version or that's a more expensive version.
Yeah.
So it probably has something to do with, you know, even when you watch like a lot of these shows where housewives and all those things where it's just all fronting, right? Like my wife, yesterday, she's like, she ordered some dress that, you know, she like loves watching the housewives. So she watches it. And I don't know who, one of them has some company and they sell these dresses, right? And she's like, I ordered this dress, and then it's fucking weird because it comes from, it says it's going to ship from, it ships from China, and then it says it's going to take 3 weeks to get here, and it was like, I don't remember what exactly the details, right? But she's like, have you seen a package? I'm like, no. I'm like, maybe it's in the mailbox. And she goes, why is there a dress in the mailbox? And she goes in the mailbox. And she's like, yeah, it's a dress. It's just, she goes, it was really poor quality. It was just shoved into a bag. And like this bare bones experience, right? She's all, it's so weird though, right? Because on the show, the woman's like, you know, super rich. And she's like always talking about this successful businesses and all this stuff she's doing. She's all, but that experience of ordering the dress was not the same. She goes, I don't even know why I ordered the dress. I just more was watching the show and was like, oh, I wonder what her dresses are like, you know? And it was total garbage. Or not total, sorry, I shouldn't say that. Maybe I was inferring that. But she just said it wasn't what she was expecting it to be.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, because the show's all bullshit, right? They're just like fronting on like, oh, look at all this stuff we have. We don't have, you know, and like you're just, they're giving off this impression, but it's, you know, what does it really matter if it's not, it doesn't have the same value if you're like, there's so many people I feel like it's, you know, show, like they all, people always talk about Instagram, like people with wrong priorities, right? Or a big watch, or they show all this money they spend on a car, but then they sleep in the car too, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. Like, but they, it's weird. It's like this obsession with it. But then everyone on some little level, I feel like most people still get sucked into it a little bit, right? It's hard to find the person that's everything is like purely functional. No, I just wanted, you know, something with a piece of rubber under my foot and a fucking canvas on top. And
it's a societal pressure. Like when you walk in there and you're like, oh, it looks good. And you're like, well, this is the best thing I got. You know, like, this looks terrible.
Yeah. So it's just probably, it's just bigger. Yeah. Sometimes I think it's like, I wouldn't say more money, more problems. But it is like in a, I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore, but in that consumer side of things, it's just the same thing. Like the more, in theory, you're spending on stuff, probably the more judgmental the people around you are. So it didn't really do you any good. It's just like a whole weird, but it does seem like there's so many people preoccupied with it.
Yeah.
What I love about it is that we've created it, right? Like we as human beings, we've created this weird conundrum that is this overbuying, oversaturated, Instagram-fueled reality TV. I mean, reality TV, for the most part, is just a walking commercial, right? Yeah. Those ladies were on there. They figured out they could get that dress in China for $3 and sell it to the masses in America for $45 or however much, right? Like, so like, and it's funny that your wife said that. You know, she's like, I don't even know why I bought it, but like they had it on and I said it's like, how great is that for like the person trying to sell it? They don't even know why they bought it, but we sold tons of them. So, and what you said, Dennis, too, right? Like you're like, this is the best I have. This is what I've got. Yeah. And you show up and you're like, oh, everyone else is dressed better, right? Like how did we go from being at the campfire with the kids and eating and being happy to, worried about what our shoes look like when we enter a room, right? Is money evil, right? Is this the evils of money? Is this what it's done to us? Is it taken us to a, I'm taking it to a dark area now.
You're going the crow route here.
But I don't know, that just makes me, that's what I think about when I hear those stories about like, especially when you see people on Instagram or whatever fronting, or I always think, you know, seriously, this is what it's come to? We can't just be happy with what we have, or get to a certain level and all be nice. And then you tell the story about the kid telling you you've got a shitty cassette player. That's even worse, right? Then you think about how many times.
What was his name, Nick? Come on, call
how
him.
Many times is that happening every single day?
I think his name was David.
David, wherever you are.
Do you think that experience changed you at some level, or set you on a different path? Like I always think, like those, I mean, you remember it. You remember everything that happened in that room that day.
Well, I guess when you play poker, right? They say if you can't find the fucking
idiot
at the table, then you're the idiot. I think it's like that.
Damn it!
Like you.
Oh my god! My eyes are open.
Everybody's so smart on this table.
That's for years. Like you want those. Like,
everybody's really good at poker for some reason.
I think you want those experiences because you want to know. You want to see something ridiculous. Like if you think to yourself, "Oh man, never seen anyone. Never thought anything was ridiculous." Then you might be the one that's fucking ridiculous, right? Like that kid didn't have something where he thought like, "That's not right," or "That seems," you know, weird, or I don't know, whatever. But it's just, it's a, I'm sure back in the day, the fucking cavemen, right, were fucking killing each other because, like, you got a sweet cave. Like, that, I want that cave. Or, yeah, where'd you get that fucking loincloth? That thing is, you know.
Your spear.
That's better. Top of the line. You know? Or, you know, it's all possessions, right? Or, like, oh, where do you, you know, you've got this fucking cattle, or I want it. So there's always, like, this weird, this X things that are, like, defined as, like, desirable. And then people have too much of it, and then people want it. It's just that in the past, it was, like, more functional, right? Like, we need a fucking cattle to kill it to eat. You need a cave to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, here especially, it became more, like, more things. And then now, obviously, to the nth degree, now that we have the social media and all that, where it's just, like, it's just so weird. And sometimes I find myself, like, sometimes I get mad at Luke. Like, he didn't do anything wrong, but I'm just, like, so worried that he's going to be, like, this little shit, you know, that's like, you know, thinks he's awesome because of something, or brat, you know, or some, any weird thing, or, like, or thinks something's better because he has it or doesn't have it. But I feel like, so maybe we're, and then it's, and you feel bad because then you're looking at him, he's just like, what the fuck? I just, like, hey, can I get another fucking plushie? Yeah. You're like, how many fucking plushies do you need? What's wrong with you? Do you know there's kids that don't have any plushies? And he's like,
no, but that's good. That's okay, good. Okay. That's a good conversation. At least you're cognizant of it and you're having with it. Like, I remember my dad having sort of the same conversation with me. Like, you're like, can I get another Matchbox car? And he's like, what are you talking about? You have like 50 of them. Are you insane? There's kids all over the place who don't. How about you take 5 of those and we'll donate them to somebody who wants them? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Get out of here. Yeah, so it's, and then the other thing that pops in my head on money is more like we have a company where a lot of people are, at least the management side, are very vocal about the fact that they're not paid enough. And it's a weird thing because it's like, you know, that's another, so it's just within the context of work, but it's hard to, like, it's hard, you know, you want people to, if they place some value on pay, everyone places, obviously, everyone wants to get paid the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's a weird dilemma within, even within a business, when someone's like, I should get this much. You're like, no, the business can't afford that. Or, but with it, but then what if the business can't afford it? Then it's an even weirder dynamic, because then you're saying, well, the business can afford it, but your job only pays this much. And then it's like that weird balance, right? Where, like, yeah, there, it's like this, you can tell people, like, you know, because in this conversation, you could be like, oh, you should just do everything, not for money. You just do everything because it feels good, or like it's the right thing to do, or you're passionate about it. Everyone's like, great, I will do that. I'm fucking passionate about it. I love it. I'll work my ass off if I get paid what I should get paid. And there's no right or wrong side. But I've struggled with that lately because it's just a weird thing where you almost snap in and out of like human mode, right? Where you're like, what, like, because, you know, so you don't think I'm worth that much money? It's like, I mean, yes and no, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, in the context of...
I'm just really happy he didn't look at me when he was
like,
the
start. Like, in the context of, like, the job and what it pays and what other people would get paid to do that job, you're kind of saying, like, no, I don't think you're worth more money. But in the context of, like, are you awesome? And, like, could you do a good job? And would it be great if there was no limits? Then, yes, you're worth it, you know? But it's, like, that weird... So then it's a... I guess within the context of business, that's a tough one. Because it's all, you know, it's like, oh, what do we price things at? What do we sell things for? But the constant one is like, how do you, you know, you're trying to value people and you're trying to make, you know, you want everyone to have as much money as possible. But then within the context of it, you want the company to make money. And so then it's just a weird, but I've noticed in that there's a weird, like, it's, you get into this awkward situation where you're trying, you're not thinking that way, right? I'm not thinking like, oh, you're an X dollar person and you're a Y dollar person, but they're sometimes forcing you to think that way. Or,
well, couldn't you tell, like, the, in those sort of conversations, the intentions behind the question? A question like that seems to be really weighted on trying to, in a sense, almost take advantage of who you are as a person, your personality as a boss. So if I'm approaching you and trying to corner you into admitting that I'm worth something, then haha, I got you, so why are you not doing this? And I think the great leadership is able to tell the difference between somebody who's trying to pin you into a corner so they can get more money, as opposed to, like, really trying to negotiate with, you know, with the proper, I guess, intention is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. No, it's tough. I mean, it's even like you want like a culture of like openness.
Mm-hmm.
And then you create a culture of openness where people feel totally comfortable saying out loud for anyone to hear, this company doesn't pay me enough. And then you're like, wait, we didn't necessarily want that level of openness, but hey, we did want that level of openness. But then it just gets into a whole weird thing because you say it's not possible, right? But then usually you say something out loud because you want it to happen, right? So then it's a whole weird dynamic. I don't know why we got off on this topic, but it's like, that's what I think of lately with money is like, it's such a subjective thing. There's no formula or no written rules for like, this is how XYZ happens, right? So this isn't like it's just a weird.
Well, so I would say it's a balance. If you paid everybody what they felt they were worth, then, you know, then it wouldn't be a business because we're being making money.
Well, it always trickles down. So it's like, if you ask this a manager, like, how much do you want to get paid? I should get paid twice as much as I'm getting right now. So if I, within the context of the business, I told you I'll pay you twice as much as you're getting paid right now, would you accept it? Yes. What if that meant you had to do, because we can't afford all that, what if that meant you had to do more work and maybe get rid of someone below you? That's fine. But then, you know, it's like that weird, and then you think, well, you're asking me for this, but then what about the person believe? But
yeah, I'm like,
but you
wow,
have no problem with that.
That's
right?
A cutthroat right there.
Or if you
well, they're
said,
not worth it.
Fire two more people.
They're not worth
money.
It, actually. Let me get their money.
Or if you said, like, hey, I'll give you more money, but then you can't, like, you don't have to fire anyone beneath you, but the person beneath you can't make any more money. They'd say, that's fine. And then what
seriously,
if
seriously, they'd say that's fine?
But then what if the person beneath them then comes and says, hey, can I get a raise? Like, I haven't had a raise in a couple of years and I should be making, it's the exact same conversation, right? I'd say, well, there's no money. Why? Well, they'd say, well, because they said, you know, Nick or whoever said, whatever, the budget says this. So it's just a weird, I guess, so in every way, like, money, like, makes you driven and is like it's a good reward for hard work. But then it's really, you know, it's almost impossible not to be selfish on some level because there's only so much of it. So, like, everyone, even, you know, if I were to say, like, oh, you know, I don't think I try to hoard it or it's all about it or this, that, and the other, but there's still times where I'm like, doesn't make sense. Or, and then every manager even says, like, this is bullshit. I need more money for my staff. Okay. But then maybe they take a disproportionate amount or, so it's a weird thing. There's no right or wrong. It's just the reality of it is weird. But I think what's interesting is as things evolve now, people have more like transparency, they have more outlets, they have more opportunity. There's more smaller companies where people can play a bigger role and help create their own future, you know, income and career path and all that, than back in the day when it was like, you know, you're a cog in a wheel, this is how much a fucking cog gets paid, this is how much the
yeah,
whatever the part of the wheel is.
I think there's a lot of places that are still like that. And I think that it's all about what the market, because this is capitalism, sets the level of demand and how much you'll get paid for that position, right?
Yeah.
And I think I always think, like, when you tell that story or when you tell stories like that, I always think, okay, so like, if you were to go to them and say, oh, you can get paid triple and then quadruple, like, would people just keep saying yes? Or is there a certain person who would be like, wait, dude,
I'm not worth that.
One, I may not be worth that, or two, like, aren't we going to cripple the business over this? Like,
I don't know. I think it's weird. I guess I have been thinking about this a lot now that we start talking about. But it's more, yeah, like, there's certain people I don't want to talk to as much because I know.
I noticed you've been dodging my calls lately. Yeah. I didn't realize why that was.
He was like, because I know. Not that I don't want to talk to you, but once you know someone finds it easy to verbalize that they feel like they're underpaid, then it feels like there's this moment coming, right, where someone's gonna have to call someone's bluff. And so it just, for me, it just becomes awkward. I want people to ask, but I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I guess that's a good transition to, is talking about money awkward, right? Is it something that you, it's a question to everybody, right? Do you freely, like, I know lots of people who will walk up to me, tell me exactly how much they make, how much they do, what they're spending their money on, and I'm always like, and you know, my dad was always like, you don't tell anyone what you make, and like that's not polite. Like, if they may make more or more less, it's not nice. And so, like, I never tell anyone, right? Like, I never say it to, even it's just an awkward conversation from where I was raised.
Yeah,
but I think there's lots of people who never, they don't even think about it.
But there's also people who walk up to, like, I've had people like ask me, like, not cars or anything super fancy, but just walk up and be like, it's a nice car, how much was it? I was like, I don't even fucking know you. Like, you're just walking down the sidewalk, right? Well, they'll say, like, hey, you know, like, there's a lot of people that are, ooh, where'd you get that? How much is it? And it's just, it's a weird.
Yeah.
I guess it's a weird thing, but then is it a weird thing? Because you, a lot of times you're making assumptions, right? Like, you're making assumptions like, oh, I don't want to tell you because you'll think that's too much, or you'll think this is stupid, or, and then half time it's like, who the fuck are you? Like, I don't even, you know. But there's all, so in a perfect scenario, there would be just this laid out, like, everything's transparent, but it's definitely a weird thing.
Have you had times when people have treated you different when they do research and figure out who you are?
I don't know that many people do research, but sometimes, I mean, you know, you like, then it's the inverse, right? You like to walk into a store and like have them ignore you because they think like, who the fuck, you know, this guy's not gonna be able to buy anything, right? So then you take pleasure in a weird way. But then I don't know, the whole thing's just fucking weird. I thought of something just now I was gonna say, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, like, so it's also not, like, it's also awkward, right? So even for Zappos, when Amazon bought Zappos, there was a lot of people that worked there, and there was very few people that actually had any equity in, like, profited off the sale, right? And you didn't even hadn't thought about that during the whole process, right? A lot of times you spend selfishly thinking about, like, or I spent selfishly thinking about, like, is you know, is what I have gonna ever be worth anything? Or, oh shit, like, you know, if I did this differently or if I did that differently, would it be worth more or less or whatever? And then got to the end and it was like, oh shit, not the end. Well, yeah, the end for me. And you were like, wait, that person didn't have any fucking stock options? Oh shit. You know, and then that person's sitting there, you know, and then it's like this weird thing where everyone's celebrating, like, the company's celebrating this event and then trying to figure out, like, well, why are people in a way worried about, why aren't they that happy? It's like, because it has nothing to fucking do with them, right? To them, right. It's just a change that could have some downside, could have some upside, but it's not any kind of, like, event that's happening, yeah, right?
Right.
So I do remember feeling uncomfortable with that, like, awkward with that. But, you know, and then it's like, and then you notice that the people who maybe didn't have Amazon stock afterwards were less stressed than the people who are like, fuck, you see the Amazon stock's up, you see it's down, it's mm-hmm. up, should I sell it, should I keep it, oh, I sold it, fuck, and then it went up, or, oh, I should have sold it and then it went down. It's just like, I guess it's just a weird thing where there will always be stresses. It's hard, right? Because it sounds, the stress of not having enough money is relatable to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the stress that money creates of, like, maybe making the wrong decision with that money, and so going from having it to not having it, or not maximizing it, or oh, fucking, woe is me, you got too much money for this, you know, that's, like, not as relatable. That almost seems, like, petty and kind of, like, shitty, like, just what a fucking idiot, you know? But, you know, we keep getting back to think, all that really matters is yourself, right? Like, so it's easy to be like, oh, that person's more important, or, oh, I should see things like that person sees it, but you can't. You just see things the way you fucking see them, which is a, you know, the combination of your whole life and all the experiences you've been through and how you've perceived them and how you've been treated and all these things gives you your perspective.
Yeah.
So then it's weird, because then, like, if I complain about a problem, I understand, like, other than, like, health problems, right? In the context of it all, these aren't big problems, or these are good problems to have. But it still feels like a problem to you.
Yeah.
You know? It's still,
yeah,
like,
it's still important, yeah.
It's just a weird, it's just a different problem.
It's always the health problems that always snaps you out of it. You know, like, when you have real big things happen, like with family or yourself, then you're like, oh, well, none of this really matters. I could care less about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when you're going into a fucking doctor's appointment, you think something might be wrong, there is no part of you that's worried about fucking money or fucking work or any of that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
That so. Ambulance ride. It's like, never again.
Oh, man. An ambulance from eating too many fire hot wings.
Fire wings. Yeah. Oh, the conversations.
Yeah. All right. Well, that 15-minute episode went over.
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be, but...
I think my last thought on money. I was listening to something this week, and there was the local NPR station in LA was doing. They're doing a bit of pieces on people that have been homeless or not homeless, and there was a homeless lady on there, and she's just recently got back on her feet, and she was like, you know, she's like, I just want you all to think about something, and that is that, you know, you think you're insulated, you think that you've got all the everything taken care of, but at any point. You could be where I was. She had a full-time job. She, mm-hmm. and one little thing led, you know, had a health problem and then lost her job and then was on the street and then was like homeless for 2 years and then finally got back on her feet. She's like, you know, you just need to think about the people you pass on the street. That could be you. It's yeah. just as easy. Like yeah. this little bubble we all live in could come crashing down on you and let you need to, be, I guess it was like, it was her story was sort of like, be kind to the people that you pass on the street that are homeless.
Right? You know what sucked about that was when we were in LA this weekend. And I was walking to, I don't know what, I was walking back to the hotel with Luke. I don't know where Gabby was. And then we were at this intersection. So we're waiting across the road. It was a weird intersection where you could go when the walk fucking signal came on, you could cross both ways, but you could also go diagonally through the middle.
Yeah.
So there was this older lady, and she looked, you know, like she seemed a little off, but when people were walking by, she was just going, hey, just on the corner, right? And she didn't seem to be looking in the right direction. So for a while, like, we were the only people there, and she's like, hey. And she, you know, and my first instinct is like, oh, Luke, you know, stay here. I mean, you know,
right.
In hindsight, not the reaction I should have, but at the time, I was like, you know, basically, I was like, I don't want to deal with talking to this lady. She seems crazy, and like, she's just yelling, hey, at people, and she's not even looking in the right fucking direction.
Yeah.
And then, and Luke's kind of looking at her weird, you know, like, and we're just kind of looking like, I think he grabbed my hand, you know, kind of like, is this lady yelling at me? I'm like, oh, we're good. Just fucking look straight ahead. Let's cross the street. I don't want to engage because I don't want to get stuck in some random conversation about God knows what. And then she's like, hey. And then finally this other woman walks up behind us. And this lady's kind of like looking, but she's looking sideways. We're both kind of behind her. She's like, hey. And finally, this lady's like, are you talking to me? And like right then the light turns, right? So we start walking diagonally. She's going straight. And as the light turns, she goes, yeah, I can't, my vision's really bad. Can you just please tell me when the walk signal's on?
Oh, jeez.
But like, it was like, and so I'm like, I felt really bad. I'm like, fuck. And then I was like, but, you know, and I'm like, Luke, that's a lesson. He's like, yeah. He goes, was she talking to us? I'm like, well, you know, that's a tricky one because she was like, hey, and looking all over the place. And your initial reaction was, she's not talking at us. She's not looking at us. She just seems to be yelling at the world. And we just assumed that she was crazy and like was going to bug us about something. But really, she was just an older lady that just couldn't see and want, but it wasn't like she was blind where she had a stick. It was like, she just didn't want to fucking walk in the middle of traffic and get hit, right? She needed someone to point her in the right direction. I still don't know what we could have done differently, because you certainly, especially in San Francisco, you don't want to just, can't sit there and talk to everyone that's fucking yelling sideways. But
never,
I told him,
you'd never get anywhere.
Yeah, I told him, I said, hey, you just gotta, you know, you gotta just remember, like, sometimes you gotta keep to yourself, sometimes you gotta ask a stranger if they need help or see if there's a way to get, you know, I don't know. Like, I go, in hindsight, we should have helped her, but I go, he goes, well, how, so next time we'll help her. I'm like, I guess, but like, I don't, you know, next time we'll have to somehow figure out if it's someone that wants help that's actually talking to us.
or someone wants you to
give them a jersey or some shit. Because then, you know, eventually we're going to be that person that's stuck on the sidewalk that can't get across. Yep. Going, fuck, why won't anyone help me?
Yeah.
You know, and it probably, because he's all, well, why didn't she just ask for help instead of yelling, hey? I'm like, I don't think she was on purpose trying to ask it in a confusing way. It was just, given her circumstances, that was, she thought, A, she can't see, right? So she doesn't actually know where, it all made sense later. She doesn't actually know where we are. She just knows there's someone around her. She can hear someone walking. She's kind of like, but, you know, to us, it looked like she was just looking all over the place yelling, hey.
Yeah.
So it was a really weird situation, but I felt really bad as we were crossing the street, but then I don't know what the point of that is. But yeah, but well, I guess the point of that is really, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much money she has. It doesn't matter if she got a fucking Rolls Royce parked in the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah.
She just needs some help getting across the street. Yeah. And we probably all will.
Yeah.
So.
All right. On that note, I guess. Yeah. Check us out on Instagram at the Startup Addict, Twitter startup_addict, YouTube search us. Who cares how many followers we have? And we also have a good old website, thestartupaddict.com.
The website.
Thank
watch,
you.
Watch Mayans.
Watch Mayans so we can catch up.
Next Friday will make more sense.
Yes. Yeah,
give us some comments and if you liked it, if you want us to keep talking about it.
Excellent. All right.
Or we can switch to Real Housewives.